Chapter 24. Monday, July 11th. It was 6 on Monday morning when Linda from Milton Security called Blomqvist on his T10.
"Don't you people ever rest?"
Blomqvist said, drunk with sleep. He glanced at Figueroa. She was up already and had changed into jogging shorts, but had not yet put on her T-shirt.
"Sure, but the night duty officer woke me. The silent alarm we installed at your apartment went off at 3.
"Did it?"
"I drove down to see what was going on. This is a bit tricky. Could you come to Milton this morning? As soon as possible, that is."
"This is serious," Armansky said.
It was just after 8 when Armansky, Blomqvist and Linda were gathered in front of a TV monitor in a conference room at Milton Security. Armansky had also called in Johan Frekland, a retired criminal inspector in the Solna police, now chief of Milton's operations unit, and the former inspector Sonny Bowman, who'd been involved in the Salander affair from the start. They were pondering the surveillance video that Linda had just shown them.
"What we see here is SEPO officer Jonas Sandberg opening the door to Mikael's apartment at 317. He has his own keys. You will recall that Falsen, the locksmith, made copies of the spare set when he and Goran Mortensen broke in several weeks ago."
Armansky nodded sternly.
"Sandberg is in the apartment for approximately 8 minutes. During that time he does the following things. First, he takes a small plastic bag from the kitchen, which he fills. Then he unscrews the back plate of a speaker, which you have in the living room, Mikael. That's where he places the bag. The fact that he takes a bag from your kitchen is significant."
"It's a Consum bag," Blomqvist said.
"I save them to put cheese and stuff in."
"I'll do the same. What matters, of course, is that the bag has your fingerprints on it."
"Then he takes a copy of SMP from the recycling bin in the hall. He tears off a page to wrap up an object, which he puts on the top shelf of your wardrobe. Same thing there. The paper has your fingerprints on it."
"I'll get you," Blomqvist said.
"I drive to your apartment at around 5, Linda said. "I find the following items. In your speaker there are now approximately 180 grams of cocaine. I've taken a sample, which I have here."
She put a small evidence bag on the conference table.
"What's in the wardrobe?" Blomqvist said.
"About 120,000 kroner in cash."
Armansky motioned to Linda to turn off the TV. He turned to Frekland.
"So, Mikael Blomqvist is involved in cocaine dealing," Frekland said good-naturedly. "Apparently they've started to get a little worried about what Blomqvist is working on."
"This is a counter-move," Blomqvist said.
"A counter-move to what?"
"They ran into Milton's security patrol in Morgongåva last night."
He told them what he had heard from Figueroa about Sandberg's expedition to the printing factory.
"That busy little rascal," Bowman said.
"But why now?"
"They must be nervous about what Millennium might publish when the trial starts," Frekland said. "If Blomqvist is arrested for dealing cocaine, his credibility will drop dramatically."
Linda nodded. Blomqvist looked sceptical.
"How are we going to handle this?"
Armansky said.
"We should do nothing," Frekland said. "We hold all the cards. We have crystal clear evidence of Sandberg planting the stuff in your apartment. Let them spring the trap. We can prove your innocence in a second, and besides, this will be further proof of the section's criminal activities.
I would so love to be prosecutor when those guys are brought to trial."
"I don't know,"
Blomqvist said slowly.
"The trial starts the day after tomorrow. The magazine is on the stands on Friday, day 3 of the trial. If they plan to frame me for dealing cocaine, I'll never have the time to explain how it happened before the magazine comes out. I risk sitting in prison and missing the beginning of the trial."
"So, all the more reason for you to stay out of sight this week," Armansky said.
"Well, I have to work with TV4, and I have a number of other things to do. It will be enormously inconvenient."
"Why right now?"
Linda said suddenly.
"How do you mean?" Armansky said.
"They've had 3 months to smear Blomqvist. Why do it right now? Whatever happens, they're not going to be able to prevent publication."
They all sat in silence for a moment.
"It might be because they don't have a clue what you're going to publish, Mikael," Armansky said. "They have to suppose that you have something in the offing, but they might think all you have is Björk's report. They have no reason to know that you're planning on rolling up the whole section. If it's only about Björk's report, then it's certainly enough to blacken your reputation. Any revelations you might come up with would be drowned out when you're arrested and charged. Big scandal. The famous Mikael Blomqvist arrested on a drug charge. 6 to 8 years in prison."
"Could I have 2 copies of the video?" Blomqvist said.
"What are you going to do with them?"
"Lodge 1 copy with Edlinth.
and in 3 hours I'm going to be at TV4. I think it would be prudent to have this ready to run on TV if or when all hell breaks loose.
Figueroa turned off the DVD player and put the remote on the table. They were meeting in the temporary office on Friedhelmsplan.
"Cocaine," Edplinth said. "They're playing a very dirty game here."
Figueroa looked thoughtful. She glanced at Blomqvist.
"I thought it best to keep all of you up to date," he said with a shrug.
"I don't like this," Figueroa said. "It implies a recklessness. Someone hasn't really thought this through. They must realize that you wouldn't go quietly and let yourself be thrown into Kumla Bunker under arrest on a drugs charge."
"I agree," Blomqvist said.
"Even if you were convicted, there's still a strong likelihood that people would believe what you have to say. And your colleagues at Millennium wouldn't keep quiet either."
"Furthermore, this is costing them a great deal," Edplinth said. "They have a budget that allows them to distribute 120,000 kroner here and there without blinking, plus whatever the cocaine costs them."
"I know. But the plan is actually not bad," Blomqvist said. "They're counting on Salinder landing back in the asylum while I disappear in a cloud of suspicion. They're also assuming that any attention would be focused on Seppo, not on the section."
"But how are they going to convince the narcotics unit to search your apartment? I mean, an anonymous tip will hardly be enough for someone to kick in the door of a star journalist. And if this is going to work, suspicion would have to be cast on you within 48 hours.
"Well, we don't really know anything about their schedule," Blomqvist said.
He felt exhausted and longed for all this to be over. He got up.
"Where are you off to?" Figueroa said. "I'd like to know where you're going to be for the next few days."
"I have a meeting with TV4 at lunchtime. And at 6 I'm going to catch up with Erika Berger over a lamb stew at Samir's. We're going to fine-tune the press release. The rest of the afternoon and evening I'll be at Millennium, I imagine."
Figueroa's eyes narrowed slightly at the mention of Berger.
"I need you to stay in touch during the day. I'd prefer it if you laid low until the trial starts."
"Maybe I could move in with you for a few days," Blomqvist said, with a playful smile.
Figueroa's face darkened. She cast a hasty glance at Edlinth.
"Monica's right," Edlinth said. "I think it will be best if you stay more or less out of sight for the time being."
"You take care of your end," Blomqvist said, "and I'll take care of mine.